the evacuation didn't reduce the risk, it actually amplified it, unfortunately. And I'll get into what I mean by that in a second. So from the onsite or the onset of the situation, one of the primary barriers we encountered was a lack of coordination around high-risk individuals or those people deemed hard to serve. The evacuation systems, they're really not designed to track or support people who are already navigating exploitation, substance dependence, medical instability, mental health crises, or family situations or separation. So when entire communities are displaced rapidly, these individuals are often separated from their usual supports. They're separated from their medication, and people arrive in receiving cities with no identification, no transportation, and no clear point of contact. From an Indigenous lens, this is particularly harmful because many evacuees were sent far from their home territories into unfamiliar, often unsafe environments here in Winnipeg. There was cultural dislocation, fear, and historical mistrust of institutions immediately became factors. So what we saw was people avoiding official shelters, like the congregate shelters, because of over-surveillance, a lot of policing. There was folks who did not want to go because of previous child welfare and criminal justice experiences as well. And others left the evacuation centers entirely because they actually felt unsafe, overwhelmed, or invisible within the systems that were stretched too thin and completely culturally unprepared. So another significant barrier was that it was an eligibility-driven response. So emergency supports often required identification, fixed addresses, sobriety, or compliance with shelter rules that didn't account for trauma or survival realities. So people who didn't meet this criteria, including women experiencing exploitation, sex workers as well, or people using substances, were automatically labeled as high risk,